Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Tuesday's edition of All Subjects Everything. I am your host, Chris Stevens. Hopefully you're having a fantastic Tuesday morning. If this is your first time tuning in, All Subjects Everything is an internet interactive radio show. When we are live on the air, you can call in with a question or comment at 661-564-9194. You can also check us out in the Blog Talk Radio Network chat room, as a few of my esteemed listeners like to do from time to time. Or if you haven't followed along via Twitter, just use the All Subjects Everything hashtag. Can't listen to us live? Remember, we're available on iTunes. You can go to the iTunes store, search for All Subjects Everything on the podcast, download the shows for free 99. Then while you're there on the show page, rate us from 1 star to 5 stars, write a little review, let us know what you like, what you don't like, what you would like to hear and see in future shows, and we'll do our very best to make that happen for you. And for you smartphone and tablet users, All Subjects Everything is available on the Stitcher mobile app. You can download Stitcher to either of those devices, search for All Subjects Everything there, take us with you in the car, in the gym, the office, wherever you want to get in on the conversation. Don't forget to like our Facebook page, too, facebook.com/allsubjectseverything. There you will find show links, news updates to what we're working on, and soon we'll be rolling out poll topics and questions as to, you know, you guys can talk amongst yourselves, you know, answer the questions. We'll help guide the conversation along. That will help us develop a better show. Okay, so three things to talk about in only 30 minutes or 25 or whatever to get to it. So how about those Villanova Wildcats? I told you. What I tell you? If you listen to Monday's show, the last about 7 or 8 minutes, I said if Villanova shoots between 55% and 60% on Monday night, they have a good chance of beating North Carolina. What did they shoot? 56%. I be predicting stuff, man. I just know. And I wish I knew the Powerball numbers, but that's another story for another time. But in case you missed it last night, what a whale of a game. North Carolina came back from about 10 down, tied it on a ridiculous Marcus Page three-pointer with a little under 5 seconds left. But, of course, Chris Jenkins has the final say with a 25-footer at the horn. Villanova wins its first national championship since 1985, beating North Carolina 77-74 in Houston, Texas. Now, as far as, you know, the game itself, you know, the referees, you know, in the tournament as a whole were a disaster area. Like, there were some awful calls that, you know, swung games, took players out that people wanted to see, and last night was no exception. The referees in last night's title game were awful. The NCAA needs to spend some of this money that they're withholding from the players on a referee camp, because some of the most mundane calls that, you know, some of the contact that they let go during the season was like, you know, a foul during the tournament and during the championship game. It was dreadful. But the teams were talented and skilled and had enough heart to rise above it. And I feel bad for North Carolina, especially, you know, the seniors, you know, the guys like Paige, Bryce Johnson, you know, guys who busted their ass to get to this point. They played a whale of a game. And Roy Williams, you know, gets a lot of flack for the way he coaches sometimes. But as he said, he said Sunday, he knows the game of basketball more than most media people. And he helped bring Carolina back. There's nothing you can do about a shot like Chris Jenkins hit, because it all starts with, you know, Ryan Arcidiacono, you know, who got the tournament's most outstanding player. Honestly, I would have given that award to Josh Hart, but I understand why Arch got it. Because he was the heart and soul of that team. Him and Daniel Sheffield, the senior center. Those two guys were Villanova's Ed Pinckney and Gary McLean. And, you know, to take it back to 85. But Arch, on that last play where he set up, you know, Jenkins for the long bomb, there really was no, you know, there was no sense of urgency in his delivery up the floor. And you got to respect that, because a lot of people would have been, you know, trying to, you know, hit a three-pointer on the run or go straight to the rim and try to get an easy layup. Instead, he just, you know, went to his spot, got this shovel pass, and set an indirect screen that allowed Chris Jenkins just to get the shot off over Hicks just in the nick of time. Bang, game over. Signature moment for Villanova, signature moment for Jay Wright. And I really don't know where Jay Wright goes from here. For those of us who are local to this area, I mean, for those who might be new to listening to All Subjects Everything, I was born and raised in Wilmington, Delaware. So UD is pretty much in my backyard, literally. I can literally drive from the crib 15 minutes to the Bob Carpenter Center, easily. And Jay Wright was like this debonair coach, you know, who got the most out of his players even when he was back in the CAA days at Hofstra. Like, we knew when he left Hofstra to go to Villanova, he was going to do some fantastic things. He's taken them to two Final Fours, won a national championship this year. No, actually, I think three, if I'm not mistaken. Either three or four Final Fours. I can't remember. I know they lost to Carolina in 09. I know they won this year, obviously. Let me do my due diligence while I'm talking to you guys. But what else can Jay Wright do? I honestly don't know what the man has left to accomplish. Villanova made the Sweet 16 in 2005. I don't know why I thought they made the Final Four in 2005, but they made the, let's see. This is his 15th year at Villanova. He's won 354 games against 157 losses. That's pretty damn good. He's reached the Sweet 16 one, two, three, four, five, six times. He's reached the Elite Eight three times, the Final Four twice, National Championship game once, National Champions once. That just happened. So I don't know what's left for the man to prove at Villanova or in college basketball, period, because he had Hofstra, you know, pretty good by the time he left in 2001. They had made two consecutive NCAA tournament appearances, and they were in the American East at the time, not the CAA. But I don't know. I don't know what Jay Wright has left to prove in college basketball. I'm saying this as a hope that the Philadelphia 76ers will indeed fire Sam Hinkie and Brett Brown and back up the truck for Jay Wright and give him all total control of personnel decisions. That is my end game with this particular conversation. I would like to see Jay Wright run the Philadelphia 76ers. Why not? Hinkie hasn't worked out. Brett Brown, while a nice enough guy and a sharp enough guy, just hasn't had the talent, and when he gets the talent, we don't know if he can coach the talent. Jay Wright can coach the talent, okay? Jay Wright has coached the talent. You give him, you know, studs like Noel, Okafor, or Embiid. You give him a top three pick this year, which the Sixers are going to have. Maybe even two top fives if the lottery numbers work out right. And then you've got Dario Saric coming over from Croatia next year. You give Jay Wright those type of youngins. You give him complete control over who to put around these guys, and then you have something to discuss. That's what I would like to see. It's probably not going to happen, but I really wish that, you know, in terms of the Sixers, you know, breaking the mold of trusting the process and all of this other crap, let's just go ahead and fire Hinkie because he's run the team into the ground. Let's just go ahead and put Brett Brown out of his misery, put Jay Wright in charge, and let's just go ahead and see what happens. That's what I would like. But it probably won't happen, you know, dreaming as usual. But kudos to Villanova. Great end to a college basketball season that saw a little bit of everything, a tournament that saw a little bit of everything. Just a fantastic, fantastic finish to a fantastic season. And I guess we'll be talking college basketball again in November, but for the meantime, all hail the champions, the Villanova Wildcats. On to Monday Night Raw, and the Raw after Mania, talked about it yesterday, had to be important, had to have a vibe to it, and it didn't disappoint. There were a few debuts, there was a comeback that was, you know, much necessary in its nature, and now we've got some legit, you know, questions, you know, going forward. Now that Roman Reigns is the champion, for one, let's just go ahead and be honest about, you know, Shane is here to stay. It's quote unquote temporary, but we'll see what happens. Meanwhile, one of the guys who I failed to mention yesterday in terms of, you know, shifting the title picture to, you know, the upper event structure of, you know, television, returned last night. That would be the legendary Claudio Castagnoli, better known to us as the Swiss Superman, the King of Swing, Antonio Cesaro. And he made an interesting return in the most unlikeliest of ways. When Kevin Owens had taken out his homeboy Sami Zayn last night, and, you know, in order to make it a fatal four-way, they had to have somebody, you know, jump in. And, of course, it's Cesaro, you know, a guy who has his own section, the Cesaro section, the brass ring. And, you know, his comeback last night was necessary, because now we can start to see, like, you know, something bubbling underneath, you know, Reigns versus AJ Styles at the next pay-per-view, which I'm very, very much looking forward to, because even though, you know, the old guard might hate it, you know, in the meantime, you might as well have a guy that, you know, the fans have been clamoring for close to a decade now, you know, have his shot. No one's saying that AJ Styles has to beat Roman Reigns for the world championship. All we're saying is it's okay to have AJ Styles have a shot, which is fantastic, which is absolutely fantastic. Speaking of other debuts last night, Enzo and Cass made their appearance, and Cass, to me, could be the next main big guy. Him and Baron Corbin, they could be the next 2 7-foot monsters of some kind. You know, those three guys, Strowman, Cass, and Corbin could be the next legitimate big men that, you know, put a fear in your heart. And the most impressive debut last night to me was that of Apollo Crews, because, of course, being a black guy, I always kind of sort of lean towards black wrestlers. And this guy, you know, was, you know, built as, you know, a super athlete, like not like in the mode of Rusev, but just in overall agility and strength. And he put all of that on display against Tyler Breeze last night. Like, I didn't know that, you know, a part of his moveset, because full disclosure, I don't get to watch a lot of NXT because I don't have the WWE Network, because, of course, I'm between jobs and, you know, freelancing, so got to be careful of how you spend your money. But when I saw him do the Ultimate Warrior military press into a standing moonsault, that impressed the hell out of me. I'm like, wow. This kid is strong. And then, of course, the spin-out powerbomb. I'm honestly glad to see the powerbomb, the powerbomb sort of evolve, you know, with Kevin Owens, you know, transitioning to the pop-up powerbomb and, you know, Cruz with the spin-out powerbomb. Because there's only so many ways you can put somebody in a position for a pile driver, lift them up over your head, slam them to the mat. The Undertaker tried with the Last Ride with, you know, the pulling up of the trunks, pushing them higher, and then just slanging them to the dirt. But a powerbomb is a powerbomb. A powerbomb is a powerbomb is a powerbomb. But now I'm starting to see, you know, variations of it that, you know, are super impressive. You know, like Owens just slings a guy through the ropes and then just, you know, scoops him up and then just drops him. And then you have then you have Cruz doing the spin out thing, you know, from the standstill position. It's pretty impressive. Pretty impressive. Overall, you know, pretty good show last night. Can't even front. They had to bring it after WrestleMania. They had to bring it after WrestleMania. Roman Reigns had to have something to say about the boos. And give him credit. Even though you could barely hear him because 18,000 people were showing up booing the hell out of that man, he said, come on, guys. I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. But I'm the guy. That says a lot in itself. And that's all he really had to say. That's all he really had to say. He really didn't have to, you know, slam the authority. He really didn't have to slam Vince. He really didn't have to, you know, say F the fans, you know, F these competitors. I'm the guy. He just came out and said it. He said, okay, you know, I see where this is going. You guys are going to boo me. I get it. But here's the thing. I'm your champion. And until somebody takes this piece of metal off me, I'm still your champion. And that's how Roman should have been booked from the beginning, not as some, you know, elusive underdog figure, you know, chasing after something that was continually being taken from him. Because Roman Reigns and Daniel Bryan are two totally different athletes and two totally different people. Like, we believed it a lot more when Daniel Bryan was chasing down the authority. We didn't believe squat when Roman Reigns was beefing with Triple H and Stephanie and Vince. It wasn't very believable. You got Daniel Bryan, who's about 5'8", 200 pounds, you know, scruffy beard, hippie hair, even though he's cut all of that stuff now. Damn, Daniel, man. I was trying to grow my beard like yours, man. Now I don't have a frame of reference. And then you've got Reigns, this freakishly muscular, handsome guy who used to play college football, who is the blood cousin of Dwayne Douglas Johnson, better known as The Rock. And he's been a part of the WWE hierarchy since he got there with The Shield with Ambrose and Rollins. So there was no real belief in the fact that Roman Reigns was some sympathetic figure to be, you know, rooting for to chase down the title. We just figured it was going to be his no matter what. We didn't think Daniel Bryan was ever going to have a chance. We legitimately didn't think Daniel Bryan was going to have a chance. But Reigns kind of atoned last night, you know, just simply by saying, you know, I'm the guy. He didn't have to say much else. He didn't say much else. I'm here now. You can either love it or hate it. And until somebody beats me, that's what it is. So I'm interested to see where that storyline goes. Glad to see that, you know, the women's division is finally starting to get some love. Because after all, you know, after a decade plus of being quote-unquote divas, you know, it's just time that, you know, and it's all anybody ever wanted, you know, especially someone like AJ Lee, of course, now who has, you know, grown tired of the hierarchy and has retired, you know. That's all they've ever wanted was just to be considered, you know, athletes just like the guys were. And now it's back to that. We have a women's championship. They have a strong core of young divas. I mean, young women wrestlers. Of course, you've got, you know, Charlotte is the champion, lover or hater. You've got Sasha Banks, you know, the next in charge. You've got the unpredictable and exciting Becky Lynch. You've got Emma. You've got, you know, Bayley and all the others down on the farm. You've got the underused Naomi, who I really think should be women's champion at some point, even if only for a fortnight. Just give Naomi the belt for a minute, man. I mean, she's the best athlete you have on the roster, male or female. And she's got charisma. What other wrestler you know can bring back, you know, unity? You know, the way Dave Chappelle's Rick James said it. She's got people saying a catchphrase from a long forgotten, well, not long forgotten, Chappelle Show was the GOAT. Who am I kidding? 2004. From something from 2004 make it relevant again in 2016. Unity! That's charisma. That takes some aplomb, and Naomi has that. But overall, good show last night for Monday Night Raw. Nothing to really, you know, complain about. But let's see where they go from here. Let's see where they go from here. Let's see where they go from here. Finally, tonight. That 10 weeks went too fast, man, but here we are. The People versus O.J. Simpson. The People versus O.J. Simpson. The finale is tonight. And especially after last week's tempestuous events of Mark Furman, you know, having to, you know, come clean by pleading the fifth, which is, was an amazing piece of lawyering by Johnny Cochran Jr., that, you know, he may have fudged evidence in prior cases and that it's entirely possible that he did the same thing to O.J. because he wanted to get niggers and frame niggers. It was legendary. It was legendary. And now, of course, we come to the end. We come to the deliberation of the jury. We come to the verdict. We come to the aftermath, and that's it. But this whole series should win Emmys all around, for screenplay, for visuals, for casting. Oh my God, Johnny Cochran being played by Courtney B. Vance doesn't get much better than that. Like, he killed it. And my newest woman crush, Sarah Paulson, even though she is apparently interested in the equipment that I'm carrying, as Marsha Clark, was superb. Even John Travolta as Bummy Bob Shapiro was convincing. The least convincing member of the cast was Cuba Gooding Jr. as O.J. Simpson, because Cuba Gooding Jr. is about 5'10", 180 pounds, and O.J. was about 6'3", 220. It didn't fit. O.J. towered over Cochran, over Bailey, over Kardashian, over Carl Douglas, over Bob Shapiro in the courtroom. That's why they got him sitting in the chair and all the slumped down in the chair in all the courtroom, you know, scenes, because Cuba is not as tall as O.J. really is. But overall, legitimately, there's nothing to complain about when it comes to this show. Like, they delivered from start to finish, beginning to end. There's really nothing to be, you know, overly dramatic about or critical about. It was a great show. Looking forward to watching it with you guys tonight. We will talk about it tomorrow, of course, on All Subjects Everything. But if you haven't watched it yet, this is just the first of a, you know, series of events, because ESPN is doing the entire 30 for 30 miniseries on OJ's life leading up to the trial and everything like that. So really looking forward to that. But tonight is the season finale. It's on FX. It's always been channel 37 for as long as I can remember. Might be something else on your cable systems, wherever you are. Might want to, you know, figure that out before 10 p.m. tonight. But yeah, 10 p.m. tonight, People vs. O.J. Simpson miniseries finale. Talk about it as a family. Talk about it as a crew. And that, you know, is where we'll leave this show off. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to this edition of All Subjects Everything. Greatly appreciate your time. If you missed us live, blogtalkradio.com/Chris Stevens, on air, iTunes, All Subjects Everything. Same thing for Stitcher Mobile. Y'all enjoy your Tuesday, and until we talk tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, y'all be good or be good at it.
know sometimes, sunshine.